Okay, so you're at home, you're chilling on your couch, you're watching a little TV, you have a little snack with you, and then you see your phone's ringing. So you pick it up, and you get this call that there's this person coming through town, and they need a place to stay, and they're wondering if this stranger who you've never met before can stay at your house. What do you do? Have you seen The Kindness Diaries? I just saw the first episode on Netflix, and the whole premise of the show is that this guy is going, he's traveling the world with no money, and he's entirely dependent on the graciousness, the generosity of strangers for food, shelter, and travel. And if he doesn't get those things, he'll get stuck in that town. Maybe he'll freeze. Maybe he won't eat. So if you were in that situation, what would you do? Maybe another closer to home situation. Hey, when your church or an organization in your community or a family member asks you to help out with a financial need, how generous are you? When it comes to your family, desperately dependent on your help for help with dishes and vacuuming and cooking and taking out the garbage, how generous are you? When it comes to your workplace, your street, when they're asking for help doing the extra party planning or helping that person who needs help in your neighborhood, how generous are you? We deal with the reality of the resources we've been given. How do we use them best? When it comes to how God wants us to live, we want to get smart. And we're in this Get Smart series this summer, and it's based on the wisdom of the book of Proverbs that God has given us for guiding our lives. And we want to get smart according to godly wisdom versus being worldly wise. And I think when we look at this topic of living generously in our community, you're going to see that worldly wisdom and what God instructs us to, the road starts going different ways. So we want to be in His Word, and we want to be directed by Him and to get smart for our lives according to God's intentions for our lives. So I invite you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs 11, verses 23 to 27. And I also want to let you know we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to do Q&A at the end. So if you have some questions relating to the topic of generosity, we're going to have mics for you. We'll leave a little time for that. Look forward to that engagement towards the end of the message here. So you got Proverbs 11, 23 to 27. This is our passage this morning. You will see five two-line parallelisms. So in the book of Proverbs, you'll notice there's different sections. This section has five lines of pairings, and they're called antithetical parallelism. How's that? So the first line says something. The second line is a contrast. You'll notice this as you're reading Proverbs in different sections. It's like, and here's the results. And the primary focus on this section is here's what it's like to live righteously, and here's what it's like in the opposite of wickedness. So here are the results of these lives. So four out of the five lines are like that. The other one's called synthetic parallelism. It's you got a point, and then the second line drives it home. It's like you set the nail, boom, the second line drives it home. We're ready. I'm going to read from the NIV, Proverbs 11, 23 to 27. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who's willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. So this morning, I think looking at these verses, something to really draw out as the heart of the message in these verses is that godly people generously bless their community. Godly people generously bless their community. Let's unpack this. The desires of the righteous end only in good. Okay, so there's this affirmation of that. There's this sense of a person gives freely, and it's known for that person gains even more. There's this real focus in verse 26. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. There is this blessing on those who are generous in their community. And then there's a second aspect to this main thought. Godly people generously bless their community and are blessed in return. Are you seeing this? Now, some of us, that excites us. Some of us, that makes us a little weary. Okay, what exactly are we talking about? Well, we'll unpack that. But there's this sense a generous person will prosper. It's all throughout this. The desires of the righteous end in good. The one who gives freely gains. Whoever seeks good finds favor. The godly person who is generously blessing their community gets blessed in return. And then there's one other component to it. There's the contrast. There's this sense that the wicked person is stingy and is cursed. Well, that seems kind of heavy. The wicked person is stingy and is cursed. Look at verse 26. People curse the one who hoards grain. There's this the hope of the wicked owned only in wrath. Another withholds. They're stingy. Unduly they withhold. And they come to poverty. Evil comes to the one who searches for it. We're going to keep unpacking this, but there's these three components running through these Proverbs here. So let's unpack this whole emphasis of the godly people generously bless their community. So who are the godly people? Well, looking at the Proverbs, there's three real components to a godly person. First one is they're righteous. So you see this in verse 23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good. So that's not really a term we use. So we're going with godly. Godly and righteous are almost interchangeable, but how do we use the word righteous? If we were in the 80s and we were kind of surfers, we'd be like, righteous, gnarly, awesome. I feel like I'm just quoting Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. Gnarly. Okay. We more talk about righteous as self-righteousness. That's kind of the only way, oh, that guy's really self-righteous. So righteous is being right with God, right with others, and even right with creation. So if the way we use it, it's more like self-righteous. Well, that guy's only right with himself, as far as I'm concerned, because he's full of himself. That's what it is. So when it comes to being right with creation, if you think about that, like, well, what's that about? Well, how right am I with you if you come over to my yard and trash it? How right am I with you? And you like act as if it's no big deal. Well, similarly with God, you trash his creation and expect that that has no difference in your relationship. Well, so there's this whole interchange. So righteousness is really about being right with God, right with others, and right in creation. So the second component is wisdom. Godliness in Proverbs is intertwined with wisdom. There's no kind of splitting that. It's one and the same. So they're wise. That means they're intelligent in their interaction with God, others, and creation. So that's a little bit different than we think. I think of a lot of the TV shows we watch. There's absolutely no engagement with God. God is not in the story at all. And yet, how wise is that? If we're singing the breath in our lungs comes from him, that he's poured breath into us that's created life, and then he sustains life, how wise is it that we don't even acknowledge him? So if we are saying godliness, to be wise means to factor God into all of life. And it's unwise or foolish to not be expecting to interact with God. So the godly person is righteous, they are wise / smart. Thirdly, they are generous. This is throughout the book of Proverbs. So, and we see this specifically highlighted in this section. Now, interestingly, there's no verse particularly that talks about this statement up here that I'm going to unpack, but it's all throughout Proverbs. So look for it if you're taking up the challenge of reading Proverbs this summer. Really encouraged to hear the different stories people have who are reading Proverbs alongside this series this summer. So when it comes to being generous, there's a theme. The wicked advantage themselves by disadvantaging others, but the godly disadvantage themselves to advantage others. So just look at this verse 26 that we're looking at. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. So it's talking about a context of a local market. Think less global economy, think more local economy. Hey, you've got a good, and there is less of it. So let's say, you know, you're a wheat farmer, and there's this need. People need to eat. So you can, the godly person is willing to sell. They're willing to offer it. Whereas the wicked person withholds it and drives up the price to advantage self more than the community. What's another? I think of the fires in the caribou. There are some real shortages of things. There was even a point where it's like, hey, what's the gas supply like? So a gas station, let's say they're an individual gas station, what if they just withheld gas from the community that was really in need and they drove up the prices for self-profit? How would that feel? Well, I think local people wouldn't be too happy, but at the same time, that's how the world works, right? But the theme throughout the book of Proverbs is saying, hey, this is what it means to be godly. It means being generous. Generous people, godly people, disadvantage themselves to advantage others. I think there's a real theme if you think through that. There is a cost towards loving people. Let's put it in more Christian language. We tend to use the word love. I love Tim Kimmel's definition of love. Love is the commitment of my will and resources to another's best interests, no matter the cost to myself. No matter the cost to myself. So you see an interweaving of this is what love is. This is what generosity looks like. And you think about Jesus' words. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. That care for the person in need. This call to be generous. So this is a little bit of what godliness looks like. If that's what we're talking about when we say godly people generously bless their community. So if that's godliness, and we're talking about what generousness looks like, how do we become more generous people? Have you ever thought about like, I don't know how to get more generous, or like I'm just used to acting the way I act, or you just want people to stop asking you for stuff. That's maybe just a better solution, right? Well, when it comes to generosity, it has so much to do with how you view what you have. Who's providing your supply? Is it you yourself? Are you the ultimate supplier of what you have? Or is it God who supplies what you have? That's kind of the question. And this interacts with the whole thing, right? Because we want to get smart, we want to be wise. It's this interaction with God. Okay, let's talk my favorite animal here. Let's talk dogs. I love dogs. I've got a dog named Cosmo who, when I go down to the basement, he comes down to the basement. He's a black lab slash golden retriever. He's 12. When I go upstairs, he comes upstairs and he lies down beside me all the time. He's just this amazing, faithful dog. I love dogs. Another dog I had, his name was Buster, and he was part border collie and part black lab, and he was a good dog too, except when I gave him a bone. When I gave him a bone, he got vicious. Like, you give him, like, you just picture the dog, he's got the big bone, and then you start going near him, he'd start to growl. You go really close, you know, the teeth are now bared. You stick the hand up, and then you're like, okay, I remember this moment with me and my other buddy who I considered to be quite tough, and we were like, we're not going near that dog right now. Dog, let me ask you. The dog's got the bone. I gave him that bone. Who's in charge of the bone supply? Me as the owner or him? Maybe he's got that one. Maybe I'm not getting that one back. But ultimately, who's in charge of the bone supply? I am. I'm the owner. But he's not acting as if I'm in charge, is he? No. And really, truly, if he starts digging up my lawn and going to bury them and looking to hoard the bone supply, I ain't giving him too many more bones, am I? No. And yet, how often are we kind of like Buster? This is my money. Oh, don't go near it. Right? Hey, I earned this. I got it. And yet, everything we have has been given to us from God. Shouldn't we hold it more lightly? There's this picture here. If you can see through the PowerPoint, there's these open hands holding money. Our temptation in life, this is our fallen condition, is to tend to cut God out of the picture and make ourselves the center. And when we do that, and we accept the wisdom of our world, we hold on to the bone supply. We hold on to our money. We hold on to our stuff as if it's ours. And yet God calls us to live with open hands. And there's a picture of generosity. It's also a picture of humility, of where we fit in the big picture of life. And this is a picture for us when it comes to godly living. Now, when it comes to this whole supply thing, I turn on the news and I see, oh, mortgage rates are going up. Oh man, that's gonna affect things. Like, oh, the economy's going down. Oh, we don't have enough oil being produced. That means the dollar's dropping and all these things are going to affect you negatively. Oh, President Trump has done this. Oh, Prime Minister Trudeau has done that. And what happens sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I start to get kind of anxious when I'm reading the news. I know a lot of people who are like, yeah, I ain't watching the news right now. Like, there's too much of this or too much of that. You open your Bible, there's quite a different mindset. What I want to, when it comes to generosity, you can have a scarcity mindset or you can have an abundance mindset. And just to be candid with you guys, I feel like I've grown up with, though growing up in the church, I've grown up with a scarcity mindset. Because things were not easy growing up. It was a real tough go financially, especially in the teenage years for my family. And there became something where fear really became a top priority in how I dealt with money. And some of us are natural spenders. You know, usually in a home, there's a spender and a saver. Okay, how many people here are the saver? Put your hands up. Okay, and how many people are the spender in the home? Okay. Okay, I heard some people saying, hey, honey, put your hand up. That one's you. So we all have this condition in us, like we said, to cut God out of the picture. So the saver tends to hoard it, right? We tend to bury the bone in the backyard where it's safe for later. The spender tends to let's go get it, and then we got it for sure, right? There's different ways of engaging how we're made, and yet what we want to do is have open hands towards how he's made us, and God can use both mindsets, but it's when we encounter the God of the universe, I think we encounter an abundance mindset, and that's been transforming how I deal with money to start trying to open these fingers more and more. Because you come to the God of the Bible, you see that God comes down in the flesh, and he encounters 5,000 people in the desert, at 5,000 plus. Do you know the story? They're there, John 6, Jesus says, hey, guys, let's feed everybody here. They're like, hey, do you have half a year's wages? And they're like, no, let's see what we got. And one little boy comes prepared. One kid. And he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus says, okay, we can use that. Have everybody sit down. We're going to have lunch. What's going on in that little boy's heart? He was prepared. He brought lunch. If he shares it, how much is he going to get? With a scarcity mindset, he ain't getting much. But here's where God has a totally different mindset when it comes to the resources we have. The God of the universe deals with the challenges in our world completely different. And you see that we live in one world, and you go see the grandness of the universe, and there's infinite amounts of worlds and stars. It's incredible. So the God of the universe is here in human flesh, and he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he needed that little boy and the meager offering that he had to feed those people. He used that little boy and what he had. If you were that boy, what would your mindset have been? How generous would you have been? Would you have been like, sure, Jesus, take it. It's yours. We'd be like, okay, I'm going to eat 3 loaves and 1 fish and then give it to Jesus. What would your approach have been? And this story, this is the grandness of God's story interacting with humankind, is that this story is also supposed to remind you of how God interacted with a different people in a desert who were in need of food. Do you see that? Do you think of the Israelites who were wandering through the wilderness? They didn't have anything to eat. They were entirely reliant of God in faith as well. And he brought faith out of nowhere. He was growing bread on the ground with manna. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're sick of manna. Give us meat. And then there's this flock of quail. But God has an abundance of resources. This is where to get smart according to God's mindset is to live with a abundance mentality. But it's God's abundance. It's not for us to hold on to. And this is where we get this call here. The godly people generously bless their community. Do you see that? Do you believe that? Let's talk about if that's how we can be generous, by coming to grasp more and more that it's not me who provides, but it's God. God is the one in charge of my bone supply. And it's all his, so I need to hold things with open hands. So this is what can create a spirit of generosity and abundance mentality. Let's talk about the second component. Okay, if godly people are called to be generously bless their community, and they'll be blessed in return. Let's not neglect this truth. This is a truth that is here. If you're scared of that, then there's something we're going to miss. Because what are we scared of? A lot of us who've grown up in Christian settings can go, well, we're not one of those people. You know those? The health and wealth mentality who, like, God, it means God is going to provide every time. He wants me only to be healthy and happy. God does want our blessing in mind. But there's also this sense where there's a reality of suffering in this broken world. And God actually uses the broken reality to transform us. How many of you grow and mature without any pain? How do you learn those lessons? Well, there's this truth here that those who honor God, God honors. Those who honor God, God honors. And God blesses those who are generous in their community. Look at these verses. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. A generous person will prosper. Whoever seeks good finds favor. And yet, I was in a home of someone in our church just recently. The family's in need of more work. And they were saying, we're reading along with the church and we see some of these verses and they're discouraging. Where is the blessing? We're seeking him. Well, these proverbs are like tweets. They get at a truth, but they're not fully all-encompassing every scenario, and part of gaining wisdom is being able to learn how to read it. So this is a truism. So this is true ultimately. When it comes to putting your faith in God, ultimately you will be blessed. God will honor you ultimately in eternity. And that's a big comparison to our short life on earth. But there's also this sense where a lot of times we will be blessed, but it doesn't mean we won't go through hardships. Doesn't mean that there aren't challenging situations. And ultimately, if we gave for every amount that we gave, we expected in return the same amount, that would spiritually destroy you because you wouldn't be giving for the sake of loving people. You would be giving to get, right? That's not ultimately good for us. And in fact, God actually delays the reward. In many situations, we're taught to wait on him. And that what does that period of waiting do? Whether it's couple months, 5 years, or ultimately in eternity, that waiting, that period in between relying on God and him providing grows us spiritually. We don't want to treat God like a genie. And that's what I think is the rub. But ultimately, there is this truth where God honors those who honor him. And you see it in many different stories in the scriptures. Going back to Cain and Abel. So the other component is that those who are stingy are cursed. There is that contrast. We don't really want to use those terms of wickedness. That's not a term that we would want to describe of anyone. And yet there's this term that's used biblically to describe someone who is stingy, to describe someone who isn't right with God, who isn't wise, intelligent and interacting with God because they're cutting God out of the picture. They're not recognizing who he is. And God calls that wicked. as far as what's in Proverbs here. They are not my words, they're God's words, so I think we have to deal with it. So God blesses those who are generous. We see that. Second component is we see that the community blesses those who are generous. Going back to verse 26, we talked about the markets. And people curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. When I first came here in my first month, somebody talked about North Star, who was a former member of this church, who said, yeah, they just kind of pull away from the rest of society. They're not really engaged with their community. And I went, ouch, that kind of hurts. Now I'm part of North Star. I don't like that. And yet, I've been here for 10 months now. I've seen some pretty amazing things. I've seen grief share ministry. I've seen a funeral ministry where we don't ask for anything. And people do a ton of work in doing food prep and all that. And we're blessing our community. I've seen ways where we've engaged with evacuees, first responders, free oil changes by the men of this church for single moms. It feels like I'm getting some context. And isn't the prayer just more and more, Lord, let's just be generous? There was this a God moment as it came here. The search committee, as they're discerning whether or not to call us to come here and be pastoring here, they said, go listen to God, see what he wants to say. And I was here early in the morning praying before anyone got here in the parking lot there. And God really impressed upon me Jeremiah 29. Let me just take a moment to find it. You know those moments where you just feel like this is God has brought you here. I didn't know it was there specifically what he wanted to say. It's not the I know the plans I have for you. That's a wonderful truth. When talking to the exiles, he said, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage. Here's what really gripped me. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Felt like that was this truth that he wanted to say, that this church is to invest generously in this community. And as it invests, it will be blessed. And that blessing will come from God. And I think that the other second half is the community blesses it back. So I'm super encouraged at what I've seen here in this church, and just blessed by your heart. Let's just continue to live into these truths, church. Let's come with an abundance mentality that godly people generously bless their communities. Let's do that. So Q&A. Any questions, engagements with this? We got some microphones. Any questions on living generously? What's that, eh? There's a question in the back over there, Hayden, if you want to head over there. All right, we got our first question.
Hello. What's that scripture? It says that, well, to me, I can't remember what it is, but it defines capacity building, and it talked about giving from our supply so that there's no lack. And I think that when church members or the body of Christ, children of God, are in need, that the responsibility is on the church to provide from their supply. And the fact that this supply should be provided in heaven is, I think, false. I think that we need to respond to need when it's presented before us to share from our supply. But I'd like to, if I could Google that scripture, I'd find it. But I think there's a lack of, hoarding in the church. It's sinful that we need to be sharing from our supply so there's no lack today.
Okay, so more of a statement than a question. More that...
The question is where's that scripture?
Ah. I got it. It's in here. There... Totally agreed. There, like what we talked about, even in our hearts, and this is God's work in us, is that slowly we got to learn how to open our hearts. Just because we're in here doesn't mean we feel we've got it all together, that we don't, our tendency isn't to hoard. So God is coming and correcting that mentality, that God is the provider and people do need to turn to Him, and God uses people to provide. Whether Christian or not, he uses his people to provide. Okay, I believe Carmen had a question back.
Just want to preface, this is not me. I'm not as generous as this person, but what would you say to someone that says, my generosity was taken advantage of? Not by anyone in a meaning, they didn't mean to, but was hurt because they gave too much. What would you say to them?
Are they giving too much to a person or an organization? Or does it matter?
To a church.
Okay.
And said, I give because I'm asked to give, and people are... Righteous people are asking me to give, but it's too much. What would be the words would you give to that person?
That's a very real scenario. I think there'd be a confession to start of going, we don't always get it right, do we? Sometimes the giver isn't holding things with open hands. And sometimes they're not coming with the right mentality. And yet, God still calls you to be generous. So there's this aspect where you can see it as giving it to someone else, but also, really, I'm giving this to my Heavenly Father, and He can do with it what He wants to do with it. There is that engagement. Lord, what I have is Yours, and I leave that with You. So I leave the results with the Lord. I think that might be one way of engaging with that. Another one is to just console the person. I'm sorry that happened. And lastly, this aspect of just encourage you to be praying that God will be directing each of you to be giving as He calls you to. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
So perhaps they're giving beyond what God calls them to do.
Right, seek Him. Because the godly person, the righteous person, isn't to become a burden to the rest of the community. There's this whole communal thinking of they bless the community. Not so much that you're now reliant on the community entirely. But each life stage is different. Yeah. We've got a question over here.
I just have a comment more than a question. I think in the last 20 or 25 years, I think our society in general has clued in to reuse and recycle. And if I have something that somebody else can use, you can have it. And I think a lot of people have that mindset. Or we can take it somewhere where somebody else can just have it, like at the reuse place at our city dump.
Right.
And that's a way of being generous.
Yeah.
Like, we can't keep holding on to things that we don't need anymore.
That's a great perspective. Even it creates more, less complexity in our life, right? And we don't need to hold on to things even if they're used. We can maybe share it with others.
If something still works and it's still good and somebody can still use it. And I think young moms do the same thing. Their baby or their little child has used something and it's still clean and in good condition, they pass it on.
That's right.
You know, you can use it, just pass it on.
That's great. Great comment. Any final question? Oh, okay. George.
In response to generosity being taken advantage of, would you mind reading Proverbs 19:17, please?
Oh, a request. Proverbs 19:17. We might have a verse here. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Your point being that we lend to God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, George said we can never give too much.